How are we? Are we ready? You guys ready? You ready to jump right into week four of our series through the book of Philippians titled Resilient? You ready for week four? Okay, whatever. I'm coming with week four, just in case you didn't know. That's what we're doing today. We're going to jump right into it. And this series, in case you missed it or in case you're picking up after we've already gotten started, this series really has been about how to bounce back from the setbacks that we experience in life. It's been about how to prevent your current circumstances from becoming a life sentence. And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to bounce back from the setback? Jeez. Come on, somebody. All right. Who doesn't want your current circumstances to change so they don't end up becoming a life sentence? That's what I want. That's what I want. I want the seasons that I get stuck in to end so that I can stop being stuck and start moving towards what God has for me. Amen? Whether it's the next season of life or the next season of the sports team that you're on or the next semester or the next relationship, or maybe it's the current season that you're stuck in your current relationship. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to chat it up this morning about relationships. Are you with me? You ready to talk about relationships? All right. So who here's in one? Come on, you can admit it. You can admit it. And when I asked that question, your mind probably went to, you probably answered it based on whether or not you're dating or single, whether or not you're married or divorced, right? Whether or not you're celebrating 50 years of marriage or trying to reconcile the fact that maybe marriage ain't in the cards for you. Or maybe you answered it based on whether or not you're sleeping with somebody or whether or not you're interested in somebody and they're interested in you. As well, regardless of how you answered that question, I just want to make sure we're on the same page today when I say we're going to talk about relationships. Because I believe that everyone is in a relationship of some sort. Parents with children, children with parents, adult children with adult parents. You're in relationships with the people in your church, in your small group, in your workplace, in your community, in your neighborhood. And so I am convinced that life in and of itself, it kind of unfolds in the context of relationships. You follow me? I think that from the time that you're born to the time that you die, your life is unfolding in the context of a variety of different relationships. And so I think what we're going to talk about today is really for anyone and everyone, because that's what I have in mind when I say we're going to talk about relationships. Right? And I have this question that I have to ask as it pertains to relationships. And the question is this: why is it that some relationships can seemingly endure the most stressful of circumstances while others just fall apart? Why is it that some relationships are resilient, meaning they bounce back from the setback? They defeat the disappointment. They overcome the conflict. Why is it that some relationships are resilient and some aren't? And so hundreds of people, really smart people out there with PhDs and degrees, they've spent extensive time researching the topic of relationships, and volumes and volumes and volumes upon volumes have been written with regards to trying to answer questions like these. And I think if you were to spend time studying all of the books and the blogs and the articles that have been written on relationships, what you would find are three core observations as to why some relationships just frankly aren't resilient. And so I'm going to give those to you, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we see in our text today. And here's what we end up seeing in relationships. Some relationships, you know what happens to them? They erode over time. People grow apart, interests change, focus changes, people stop seeing eye to eye, stop sharing the same hobbies or interests, and they erode slowly over time. And then other relationships, they end because of some sort of traumatic or crazy, powerful, life-changing incident or experience. And these circumstances can range from anywhere from like physical, emotional abuse to the loss or the diagnosis, loss of a child, unforeseen diagnosis with regards to a child, an unanticipated circumstance, perhaps financial tension, a shift in beliefs can also cause a shift in focus in a relationship or any other life-changing event that just really causes a relationship to change. But ultimately, what I think is that relationships end not because they erode over time or because circumstances change. I think ultimately relationships end because of a loss of focus. And a loss of focus can occur because of absolutely anything. It could be a new opportunity or a new individual gets inserted into the context of a relationship. It could be a new friendship. It could be kids. It really could be anything that gets inserted into the context of a relationship that causes some distractions to occur. It causes a loss of focus. And what ends up happening in the relationship is that now there's this new competing force for time and affection and attention. And ultimately what ends up happening is people experience distance and disappointment that they can't recover from. But let's be honest, though. Maybe you agree with me on this. I don't think every relationship should last. Can we agree on that? I don't think every relationship should last. You know what I mean? Because here's what I think. I think some of y'all need to break up with Mr. Wrong so that you can create space in your life for Mr. Right. Come on, somebody. I think some of y'all are doing life with toxic people. Right? And it's a person you've been trying to change for years. And really, the only person who's changing is you. And maybe it's time to get to step in, time to move on. And so when I talk about resilient relationships, I am in no wise suggesting that all relationships should endure everything and last forever, because that's not what I'm saying. I think that in some relationships, the most resilient thing you can do for the sake of the relationship is move on. But what we're going to talk about today is what makes a relationship resilient. And I think a resilient relationship is simply this. It's one that overcomes obstacles. It bounces back from setbacks, and it defeats the disappointment. And I think this is what we want ultimately in a relationship. I've yet to meet somebody that started a relationship or a friendship or a thing with someone else, and they were like, you know what, I can't wait for it to be over. Like, you want it to last. Can we agree on that? We want our relationships to endure. We want our marriages to last. We want our friendships to last. And here's one for the parents out there. You want your kids to want to be with you when they don't have to be with you. Amen? Tell me you don't want that as a mom or a dad. You want them pinging you and texting you and calling you for advice, and it's going to drive you crazy when they call you for advice and they don't do the advice. Come on, somebody. They don't have to do the advice. They don't have to take it, by the way. All right, we want our relationships to last. And maybe you don't want the relationship with the person that you're currently booed up with to last, and that's okay. But I think ultimately we want resilient relationships. And so I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, because I think that there's something there that will help us see the dynamics of resilient relationships and start moving in that direction in our own relationships. Right? And so here's what we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. We read, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Look, resilient relationships require focus. And I think that this is really one of the keys to having a relationship that lasts, is having a focus that lasts. Because there are so many factors in life. There are so many factors in your dealings with people, whether your marriage, whether your coworkers, whether the people that you're living in the same neighborhood with, doing life with. There are so many factors in the context of our relationships that we have absolutely no control over, right? And I think that relationships ultimately don't end because of a loss of interest. I think they end because of a loss of focus. And see, you can't decide the factors that are going to impact your relationships, but you can decide your focus. You can't decide what's coming next, but you can decide what you're going to focus on when that next thing comes. You can't decide if they're going to text you back or they're going to call you back. You can't decide if there's going to be a second date. You can't decide if they're going to propose. You can't decide whether or not you're going to get an unforeseen diagnosis. You can't decide what's going to happen financially. Well, you can decide sometimes. Some of y'all need to decide. Stop spending money you ain't got. You can't decide if you're going to get the promotion. You can't decide if you're going to make the team. You can't decide if your parents are going to support you through your mistakes. And you can't decide if they're going to believe in your hopes and dreams either. You can't decide if your kids are going to ask for your advice or take it when they do. But you can decide your focus. And resilient relationships require focus. Do you remember how focused you were when you met your girl, guys? Come on, somebody. Do you remember how focused you were? You lost yourself and you got lost in her. Come on, remember with me for a minute, because maybe it's been a minute, right? You were so focused on her needs, you were willing to endure, I'm speaking for y'all, not me, hours upon hours of Hallmark movies? Come on, somebody. Yeah, let that settle in. It's okay. But you were all in. You were turned all the way up, dialed in, doing things you'd never done, spending money that you didn't have. You were calculating what you were going to say before you said it, figuring out where you were going to go before you went, right? You were willing to sit on the phone for hours on end with absolutely nothing to say. All you wanted to do was hear them breathe. And FYI, okay, been married for 12 years to Sarah, married up, in case y'all were wondering, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I tried this the other day, the, hey, let's stay on the phone while you listen to me breathe. It doesn't work anymore. After 12 years, it's over. You can't do that anymore. She said, just bottom line, she said, look, if you're going to sit on the phone and just wait for me to listen to you breathe, I ain't doing it. I'm not into that. I'll see you when you get home. Okay, so that's now, but back then it didn't matter because we were so focused. It was a matter of focus. And also, just so we're clear, she hung up first. There's power in focus. And if you want resilient relationships, relationships that do bounce back from the setback, relationships that outlast the obstacle with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with your church, with your small group, with your colleagues, with your team, you've got to stay focused. There's real power in focused, in staying focused. And here's what I know about focus, right? We tend to focus on things that we don't have. Anybody else do that? You focus on things that you don't have, and then you go after them, and you get them, and then you're done focusing on them, right? And so for some of us, that's exactly where we're at in our relationship. Right, we were focused on getting in that relationship, and now we are. Now we have it, and we're not focused on it anymore. We were focused on having kids, and now we have them, and we're losing focus. We were focused on getting that job, or getting that house, or getting that car, moving to that place, and now that we have it, we're not focused on it anymore. Right, and when it comes to relationships, staying focused is what keeps people connected. It's what keeps people in community. And in any relationship, we get to choose our focus. And you know this, I'm sure you've experienced this, that any time you choose to focus on one thing, it's almost immediate. Something else pops up, tries to sabotage your focus. So let me break this down for you. When we read, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. This is just a matter of focus. You can live yourself, or you can live your life focused on yourself, or you can live beyond yourself for the sake of someone else. You can live your life for yourself, or you can live beyond yourself for the sake of someone else. It's a matter of focus. Look, when we focus on ourselves, that absolutely every single time gets in the way of our ability to have resilient relationships. But when we focus on others, the people that are other than ourselves, when our focus shifts to the other, we actually stand a chance to have resilient relationships. And so the first step towards a resilient relationship is realizing that it's not about you. Not all your relationships are about you. Come on, somebody. And if you think that that was for somebody else, it was for you. Because here's what I know about me. If I make my relationships all about me, all I'm going to end up with is me. If you make your relationships all about you, in the end, you're just going to end up with you. And all the pain and all the problems and all the regret and all the disappointment and all the discouragement that comes from living a self-centered, self-focused, self-indulged, self-ambitious life. Because look, here's what happens when we get in this self-centered mode. We start doing something so that we can get something. You've been there you got an ulterior motive and you're only being nice so that someone will be nice to you. And then here's how that plays out in the context of our relationships. Things happen and you start going down the road of, well, he didn't, so I won't, or he did, so I should get to. You been there? Good. I thought I was the only one. Or if it's all about you, you end up exhausting inordinate amounts of energy trying to be right. Who likes being around somebody that always wants to be right? Anybody? Do you know anybody that wants to be around that person? So here's what I want you to just consider. If you're like eyes on the prize, you want to be in a relationship, stop looking for Mr. Right and start trying to become Mr. Right. Stop looking for Mrs. Right and start trying to become the right person for someone else. Can we do that? But if you spend all of your time trying to be right about everything and one-upping people and talking about how you always know more and you can always do more and the win was as a result of what you did rather than what anyone else did, it was always your idea. Look, the one-up is not how you level up in a relationship. In fact, the one-up will never allow you to level up in a relationship, because if you're always trying to be right, chances are your relationships aren't going to turn out right. If you make your relationships all about you, all you're going to end up with is you. Because when you're focused on yourself, you got no room in your life to focus on others. And I think there's a grand irony here that when we get so focused on ourselves, we really become very easily controlled by everyone else. Let me tell you what I mean here. When you're so focused on yourself and what you can get out of people or get from a circumstance or from a situation or from an opportunity, here's how that plays out. Here's how you become controlled by everyone or everything else. Everything in your life hinges on what somebody else does or doesn't do. When they live up to your expectations, everything's okay. But when they don't, you're an emotional train wreck. This is because self-fulfillment really just isn't fulfilling. And that's what we see here in this text. It's more like a bottomless pit. And no matter what you try to fill it with, you just can't fill it enough. But when our relationships are focused on others and built on humility, that's when they become resilient. And humility, in my opinion, is simply this. It's living beyond yourself for the sake of someone else. And here's what happens when you do that. In your relationships, when you approach your relationships as a means of living beyond yourself for the sake of someone else, you actually create space where you can value people for who they are, not what they've done or what they bring to the table or where they've been, or how you could network them and get something from them. Humility gives people room to make mistakes. Tell me you don't need room in your relationship to make mistakes. Some of us are still dealing with the fact that we were reared in a house where there was no room to make mistakes. We're terrified of being found out. We're terrified of making a mistake because we were reared in a home where there just wasn't space for that. Humility creates space for people to make mistakes. Humility creates space for people to admit that they're wrong. And here, if you didn't know this, sometimes you're wrong. I'm talking to y'all. Sometimes you're wrong. And sometimes I'm wrong, and humility creates space for me to admit that I'm wrong and to take ownership for my actions. And it does the same for you. Humility creates space for honesty and vulnerability and communication that's two-way. Humility creates space for you to start believing the best about people and start loving people where they are, not where you want them to be. Not based on what they believe or what they've done or what they doubt or what they do, but based on who they are. Now imagine, I want you to imagine this. Imagine how different your relationships would be, or your childhood would have been, or your marriage would have been, or your current marriage will be if, or your school would be, or your neighborhood would be, or that team that you're on would be, or that community that you're a part of would be, or our culture would be, if we really started living beyond ourselves for the sake of someone else. Imagine how different it would be. I have to believe that it would be different if my focus was on someone else, not for my sake, but for theirs. And so look, resilient relationships focus on living beyond yourself for the sake of someone else. But let's be honest here. I think this is important to insert this in the conversation. Sometimes the best thing you can do for someone else is to do something for yourself. Check out verse 4. It says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." We are not being informed or told that our interests don't matter or that we don't matter. Humility is not reckless abandon of yourself for the sake of others. That's not what it is. What's being implied here is that you got to take care of yourself in order to take care of someone else. Amen. You got to be whole if you're going to make people whole. You got to be healthy if you're going to make people healthy. You got to be loved if you're actually going to love people. And so sometimes in order to focus on someone else, you have to start by focusing on yourself. Because here's what I know. I know that I can't change my past. I can't go back and undo what I've done or what's been done to me. But my future can be changed if I take the time to deal with my past. And sometimes the most resilient thing we can do for the sake of someone else, for the sake of our relationships, is to deal with ourselves. Because our past relationships have the power to shape our future relationships. You ever find yourself doing the dumbest thing you saw your parents do? Just think about it. What's the dumbest thing you saw your dad do or your mom do? And it might be funny, it might be not so funny. But do you ever find yourself doing that? And you remember when you were a kid and you were like, "I'm never gonna do that. When I have kids, they'll never eat vegetables. When I have kids, they're never going to have to clean their room or fold their clothes." And now that you have them, you clicked 30, and all of a sudden, that thing that you swore you were never going to do is the only thing you do when it gets hot in your household, right? You come in, kid didn't clean their room, and you're like, "Sell all the stuff. Put it in bags, put it in boxes." And it's easier now because, like, eBay. Like, back then, they would have had to launch a yard sale, and it would have been this big ordeal. But now you're, like, taking pictures and posting it to your Facebook community, Facebook marketplace, whatever it's called. And like, that's where you go, right? And you swore you weren't going to go there. But can we see how there's power in our past relationships? And if we don't deal with that kind of stuff, it ends up playing out in current and future relationships. Or maybe here's one, you're at the dinner table and somebody slaved over that meal and your kids are like, "Oh my gosh. This again." Like, this happened to me last night where my kids were like, "This is what you always eat." And then you're like, "Well, kids in China would kill for this." And why is it kids in China? I don't know why, but it is. And then my kids are like, "Dad, everything we own is from China. Why do the kids not have food there? And then you're just like, oh, geez. I can't win with these people, right? But I'm not telling you something you don't already know. Our past relationships have the power to shape our future relationships, right? And we do find ourselves doing the things that we swore to ourselves we wouldn't do when we saw our parents do them. And here's what happens if we don't process our past. We end up bringing a plus one to a relationship. You ever brought a plus one to a relationship? Maybe you don't think you have, but I'm going to show you that you probably have. And it's invisible. And you know what it is? It's your past. And it's all the pain. It's all the rejection. It's all the disappointment. It's all the hurt. It's the way that you were made fun of and marginalized. It's the way that you were led to believe one thing and then the people in your life did something else. It's you plus your insecurity or your dysfunctional relationship with your parents or that secret that you've never told anyone or your control issues. And here's what ends up happening. You bring that invisible plus one to the relationship and you end up projecting that onto the people that you're currently doing life with for no reason whatsoever. You ever find yourself angry about something you're really not supposed to be angry about? Or like disappointed about something that you really shouldn't be disappointed about? Or like skeptical about something that you really shouldn't be skeptical about? Like you're leaning over their phone and you're like, who are you texting? Let me see your phone. Like and you're scrolling and there's nothing there because there ain't nothing going on. You're just insecure about a past pain and a past relationship that now you're projecting onto a current relationship. Look, anything in your past that you're afraid to unpack is an open wound. And if thinking about it brings devastation or depression or fear or discouragement, I'm here to tell you that it's something that needs to be addressed. Otherwise, your past can become like a cancer that eats away at you and it eats away at all your relationships. And pushing it behind you is not the answer. Pretending that it isn't there is not the answer. And here's what I've seen so many times. People go from one relationship to the next without ever stopping to ask, how did I get here in the first place? Because here's what I know about me. I'm the common denominator in every relationship I've ever been in. And I think it's worth taking the time to get whole. Because here's what I think. I think that when you try to build a relationship with another person, whether it's a friendship or an intimate relationship, whether it's romantic or just a casual relationship, when you try to build a relationship with another person without first doing the hard work of becoming whole, we run the risk of using that relationship as a means of becoming whole. And I'm here to tell you, there is only one who can complete us, and his name is Jesus. And until you've been made whole by Jesus, you won't be able to live beyond yourself for the sake of someone else, because true humility only comes from a place of wholeness, a place of healing, a place of true self-worth. Humility comes from knowing that you are fully loved and fully accepted. And wholeness comes from a relationship with Jesus, because Jesus, through a relationship with him, wants to set us free from trying to complete ourselves through the next relationship or the next thing or the next whatever. Jesus wants to set us free from the search for completeness based on our own effort. He wants to set us free from the pain of our past so that we can experience a future. Humility is not something that you and I achieve. Humility is something that we become because of a relationship with Jesus. Because humility is this. This is what humility is. It's the ultimate expression of love. Humility is when you lose sight of yourself for the sake of others. And that is exactly what this text is about. That is exactly what we see Jesus doing. We see Jesus losing sight of himself for the sake of others. This text is about how much Jesus loves people and how Jesus' love for people is what makes us whole. It's what makes us humble to the degree that we can live beyond ourselves for the sake of someone else. It's about how our relationship with Jesus is the absolute and utter key to having resilient relationships. Pick up with me in verse 5. I want to show you something. It says there, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." He didn't hold his position above your head. He didn't pull rank. He didn't make you jump through a bunch of hoops. Jesus saw who he was. He was fully acquainted with who he was, and he used who he was to make people like us whole. And here's what he did. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. If you are loved by Jesus, there is nothing that can take that away. There is nothing that can change that. That's what that verse means. When we see Jesus highly exalted, that his name is above every name, that means a relationship with him is a relationship that's above every relationship. And if we can get that relationship right, we can have resilient relationships. So Jesus is the name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A relationship with Jesus is the key to resilient relationships. And what's at work here is a clear, powerful picture of how much Jesus loves people. And I'm convinced that somebody needs to hear that today. There's somebody here today who's been selling themselves short, who's been farming themselves out through relationship after relationship, dead end after dead end. And I need you to hear that you are so loved by Jesus that you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to sell yourself out. You don't have to sell yourself out so cheaply anymore. You don't have to sell yourself short. You don't have to give yourself away so quickly. You don't have to devalue yourself. You don't have to believe the lies that you've been believing about who you are. You don't have to believe what you've heard about yourself. Because Jesus sees you as valuable enough to die for. Because he loves you. Look, can you see what's at work here? Can you see in this text how it's very clear that Jesus spanned heaven and earth to find you? Can you see that here? When it says that he didn't count equality with God as something to be grasped, that's Jesus spanning heaven and earth to find you. He's not willing to leave you behind. He was going after you. He emptied himself and humbled himself. He lost himself so that you could find yourself. He was pursuing a relationship with you like no one has ever pursued a relationship with you. He was showing you a love without conditions, a love that keeps no record of wrong, a love that's not going to hold it against you. A love that's not going to hold it over your head when you come stumbling back or when you get up again from that thing that you can't seem to shake. This is a love without boundaries, a love without bounds. He was showing you his love for you at all costs. He was showing you that he's more committed to you than you've ever been to yourself or that anyone has ever been to you. Look, at the cross, I'm convinced of this, that we absolutely run out of excuses of whether or not Jesus loves us. Because on the cross, we see Jesus emptying himself and humbling himself, sacrificing himself for the sake of others because he loves people. Look, because of our past relationships and the mistakes that we've made and the hurt that we've doled out and the hurt that we've endured, I think sometimes we get trapped in this really warped paradigm of who we are. We get stuck on this image of self that just isn't working for us. It's not moving us forward. It's holding us back. And if you're held back, your relationships are held back. Sometimes we don't feel valuable enough to be appreciated. We don't feel lovely enough to be loved. And Jesus wants to absolutely break that paradigm. He wants to break those chains. He wants to reorient your focus so that your relationships can be resilient. He wants to show us how deeply loved that we are so that we can love people the way that they need to be loved. So that we can lose sight of ourselves for the sake of others. That's what humility is. It's losing sight of yourself for the sake of others. It's being willing to be disadvantaged so that someone else can have an advantage. And if you're loved by God, you have the ultimate advantage. So why not? Why not disadvantage yourself for the advantage of someone else? But ultimately, Jesus wants us to have a relationship with Him so that we can have resilient relationships with others. And so during this last song, I want to invite you, if you have pain from a past relationship or you're dealing with pain in a present relationship, whether it's your spouse or your family or your friends or your coworkers or your boss or it's you and your kids, And life feels like it's you against the world. If you want to begin processing that, our response team is up here. They would love to talk with you and pray with you so that you can start taking steps away from your past and into your future. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm here to tell you that until you get that relationship right, none of your relationships will be all right. And a relationship with Jesus isn't complicated. The offer that Jesus makes, it's to everyone. Doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done, what you've been through, what you bring to the table. The offer is the same for everyone. It's life abundant in Jesus. And everybody gets there the same way, through trusting Jesus. And everyone can meet the requirements. And you know what the requirements are? All you have to do is admit that everything you've tried hasn't worked. And you're ready to try Jesus. And I would encourage you, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, I would encourage you, try it. Do it today. What do you have to lose? Look, I know in my heart of hearts that Jesus wants to reorient our focus because He wants our relationships to be resilient. And He wants us to lose sight of ourselves so that we can focus on someone else. And the only way that you can do that is if you come to grips with the fact that you are so deeply loved. Loved beyond your wildest imagination. And when you know that you're deeply loved, you can begin losing sight of yourself for the sake of someone else. And He wants us to have a relationship with Him so that all of our other relationships can be resilient. All you have to do is take a step of faith today. And you can do that right now during this last song. Let's worship God together.